Welcome to the Soul Foods Devotional Podcast, produced by International Students Incorporated. Today, we're led by our very own Jeff Townsend. After pastoring churches in Iowa, Texas, and Colorado, Jeff and his wife Mary were involved in missions work in the Middle East. Since returning from the field, Jeff has faithfully served with us at ISI. Here's Jeff.
My wife and I used to live in a small mountain community at an elevation of over 8,000 feet. The home that we inhabited there had a wood stove on the lower level with openings between the levels of the house for heat from the wood stove to flow to the upper level. Thus, the whole house could be heated with that one wood stove. During the cold winter months when the nighttime temperature could get as low as minus 20, I would replenish the wood in the stove on the lower level right before I went to bed. As I laid down, the whole house warmed to a reasonably comfortable temperature. Ah! But alas, I usually awakened around 3 a.m. to bone-chilling cold. Shivering in my robe, I made my way through the darkness, trying not to awaken the family, down to the wood stove. And when I opened it, I found a smoldering pile of ashes, where there had been only hours before a nicely made roaring fire. You see, untended fires soon become a pile of ashes. And what is true in the physical realm is also true in the spiritual realm of our hearts. When a person entrusts their life to Jesus Christ and receives the gift of forgiveness and new eternal life, the Spirit of God takes up residence in that believer and lights a fire of worship in our hearts. I remember that fire burning brightly in my own heart following my conversion in the summer of 1969, just after Neil Armstrong stepped on the moon. But like the fire in my wood stove, an untended fire of worship in my personal life can just as easily become a smoldering pile of ashes. Today we want to explore why our inner spiritual lives of worship are so important, and then try to address the important question, how do you tend an inner fire of worship and keep it burning brightly for the Lord? First of all, why is this so important? As we look at the Bible, we consistently see that tending the inner fire was the basis for everything else God's people did. For example, you cannot read the Psalms of David without being impressed by this man's attention to the inner fire, his personal spiritual life. In the familiar Psalm 23, David pictured his inner spirit as a pasture where the great shepherd led him as a lamb to quiet waters, green grass, and tables loaded with food. This was the place where David said that his soul was nourished, refreshed, and restored. Here David worshiped his shepherd Lord. In the New Testament, we see Jesus, the ultimate son of David, taking time away from ministry demands to tend his inner fire. In Luke chapter 5, verses 15 and 16, we see one of the most astounding and penetrating passages in all of Scripture. Luke writes this, "The news about Jesus spread all the more, so that more crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed." Tending his inner fire was so basic and important that Jesus often chose needed prayer over the pressing needs of people. Certainly, if tending the inner fire of communion with God in prayer was basic and important to the Son of God, what does that say about the importance of tending the inner fire of worship in our own lives? As if Jesus' example was not enough, we hear him exhorting us to heed the importance of tending the inner fire in our lives. In Mark 3:14, we read that Jesus appointed 12, designating them apostles, that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach. Notice the order. It was important that the apostles first be with Jesus, then they could go out and live for Jesus. As Jesus himself put it in John 15:5, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing." Do we really believe that? We might say we believe it, but do we live it? Jesus says, "Unless you sink down deep roots into your relationship with me, you can do nothing of eternal value for me. Tending the inner fire, building our personal worship relationship with Jesus, is the basis for everything else we do. Perhaps Proverbs 4:23 puts it best when it says, "Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life." In other words, the springs of spiritual vitality. Well, if tending the inner fire of my spiritual life and worship is important, how do I go about tending an inner fire? Christianity at its core is a person-to-person relationship with God established through faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. We build that relationship as we would any other personal relationship, with attention to the relationship and communication between the persons in the relationship. Let's look first of all at attention to the relationship. James 4:8 says, "Come near to God, and He will come near to you." In 1 Timothy 4, Paul urges his son in the faith, "Train yourself for godliness. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them, so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and your doctrine closely. Persevere in them." We cannot tend the inner fire of our devotion to Jesus without significant attention to our relationship with Him. And notice, too, that this is clearly our responsibility. No one can do it for you. I can't tend your inner fire, and you can't tend mine. You and I must each give significant attention to growing in our inner spiritual life. Well, how do we do that then? Well, perhaps the most basic ingredient of relationship building is communication. We communicate to God through prayer. He communicates to us primarily through His Word, the Bible. Thus, the two most basic, though certainly not the only fuels for our inner fire, are prayer and God's Word. Now, other kindling for the inner fire might include things like times of silence and solitude, a mentoring relationship, listening to good music, journaling, scripture memory, meditation, fasting, reading books, listening to media, all kinds of things. But let's focus in on prayer for a minute. Remember that Jesus often took time away from the demands of life and ministry to communicate with His Heavenly Father. If He did that, so should we. But what is prayer? Well, it's not some mysterious saying of words that we must pronounce exactly right to be heard by God. Tom Constable defines prayer as any and every expression of our thoughts and feelings to God, whether audible or inaudible. In prayer, we may tell God anything that's on our heart and ask Him for anything that corresponds to His will. 1 John 5, verses 14 and 15 gives this assurance. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us, and we know that we have what we have asked of Him. For example, a person is diagnosed with cancer, as my brother was a couple of years ago. And if that person, like my brother, is a believer in Jesus Christ, then he can ask God to heal him completely, but ultimately to do that which will bring God the most glory, since that's what worship as a way of life is all about. Well, the believer with cancer who approaches God like that in prayer may know for sure that his or her prayer is answered. It may not be the answer we prefer, but the answer is guaranteed. Now, Bible study. This is another way that we tend the inner fire. Prayer is the way we speak to God. He speaks to us primarily through His Word. As the psalmist so vividly described it, "Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." That's Psalm 119, verse 105. Jesus gave these timeless words to the people of His day. "You search the Scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is these that bear witness of me," John 5:39. The Apostle Paul assures us that all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. The Bible gives us God's truth so that we can worship Him in truth. Admittedly, of course, parts of the Bible are difficult to understand. I love the honesty of the Apostle Peter, who wrote that Paul's letters contain some things hard to understand, 2 Peter 3:16. Well, to help with that, let me recommend that you invest in a good study Bible that provides introductory information, outline, notes, charts, diagrams, and maps to help you in your study. For about 40 years now, I've used a Ryrie study Bible. My current favorite, though, is the ESV study Bible. You'll find that a great help. It will also help you to take a Bible study methods class. Well, you don't actually have to schedule a class. You can just go to YouTube, put in Bible study methods, and there's quite a few things for your learning on the YouTube channel. One final thought. James reminds us, do not merely listen to the word, do what it says. Bible study without application is like being handed a check for $1 million but never cashing it. So we need to make sure that we're not only listening to the word, but doing what it says. An untended fire soon becomes just a pile of ashes. Thus, we need to tend the inner fire of our worship and devotion to Jesus Christ. It's the very basis for everything else we do. Without it, we can do nothing that amounts to anything of eternal value. We tend the inner fire of our devotion to Jesus primarily through prayer and the study and application of God's Word. And it is our responsibility to tend our inner fire. Ultimately, no one else can tend your fire because it's an inner fire. Are you tending your inner fire, or has it become a pile of smoldering ashes? May I recommend that you set an appointment with God in your daily schedule to tend your inner fire? Ideally, that should be a private time just for you and God in a quiet place away from distractions. Of course, most of us live on some level of the sub-ideal, so we may need to help each other secure a regular time with God. Moms with small children especially need our help, guys, in making sure that mom can get away for a time with God. I won't say when or how long that time has to be. Your body clock will tell you when, and your heart will tell you how long. Just do it, because an untended fire soon becomes just a pile of ashes. I leave you with this penetrating quote from a pastor from the 19th century named E.M. Bounds. He wrote this, "The people who have most fully illustrated Christ in their characters and have most powerfully affected the world for him have been men and women who spend so much time with God as to make it a notable feature in their lives. To be little with God is to be little for God. So now, go into the world in peace. Have courage. Hold on to what is good. Honor all men. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the suffering and share the gospel. Honor and serve the Lord in the power of the Holy Spirit. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ go with us all."